Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Hey, welcome to the Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on VegasInsider.com. I'm the founder of PritchardsPicks.com. This show is being simulcast not only on Vegas Video Network, but also KSHP AM 1400 radio right here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm joined, as always, a very good friend, a mentor, an all-around good guy, happens to be the GM of KSHP and a sports enthusiast, Brett Grant. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. I'm in wearing my Red Sox shirt in support of the events that happened yesterday in Boston. I notice you're wearing purple, so let me give you the purple pad and my purple cup from yesterday.
I'll take it. Thank you very much.
I'll keep the cup, though. That's got my vodka in it, so I'm good to go.
The love of my life, Jessica Ha, bought me this purple shirt right before she drop-kicked me to the curb.
Yeah.
So being a very sentimental, sensitive guy, I'm wearing
you.
It.
You love it.
That, and I'm following your lead.
Yes,
from
I wore purple yesterday. So apparently, it's Prince found. We're very fond of Prince Week around
here. Well, we are going to party like it's 1999.
There you go.
Let's get started with what say you. We have the Boston Celtics at home tonight taking on the Indiana Pacers, but this game has been canceled because of the tragic events that took place yesterday at the finish line of the Boston Marathon with the bombing. Three individuals killed, over 100 people injured. Very, very sad. Very, very tragic. The game has been canceled tonight in Boston, the Celtic game. I have to say that I respectfully disagree with this decision. What say you?
Well, and you're going to elaborate on why you do. Obviously, with the events of yesterday, today we're not necessarily people who didn't like, I'm not a Red Sox fan, but I dug through my closet and I found a shirt that I had, something Boston-wise. Today we are all in support of what happened in Boston and the tragic story of the 8-year-old boy who was one of those killed, lost his life. His sister lost a leg. His mother had serious brain damage. The three of them were waiting for their father and their husband to cross the finish line at the Boston Marathon. A horrible story. And then you look at, life goes on. What do you do the following day? And it's a very difficult decision, I think, for the NBA. The Red Sox are on the road. They'll play in Cleveland tonight. The Bruins have a game also that has also been canceled. That was last night's game, or is it today's game? And then the NBA, it's the final day of the regular season for the Celtics, or final game, I should say. It's a very tough decision for David Stern, and I think he probably left it up to the Celtics ownership group.
Probably, but again, I respectfully disagree simply because, as gut-wrenchingly sad as it is, one has nothing to do with the other, and it's true. I mean, life goes on, and it's up to each individual to pay homage and show respect in their own personal way of doing things. I look at things from this is a sports betting show, the Odds Couple, so we always look at things from a sports betting standpoint, and I think about the people who have future bets on the Pacers and the Celtics based on total wins for the season. As an example, this game is not postponed. It's canceled, not to be made up. So whether you win or lose your play, it's a no bet because right. You have to play 82 games.
So it's a refund, whether you won or lost.
Even if you've already won the bet,
right.
Or even if you've already lost the bet, it's a no bet. It's
okay.
So there's no action because it's predicated on the fact that they have to play 82 games.
Gotcha.
Again, I mean, does everyone call in sick for work today? I mean, do you?
Right, no, that's a good point.
Do you close the schools? Why are you canceling this game?
I know from the standpoint of where the Indiana Pacers are, they have one more win to get to their over the total bet, or maybe they'd have win both of them to get over it, split, and it's a push. 0-2 would be a loss. And now they have a game loss. Obviously, now it's a refund all the way through.
Yeah, it's a moot point regardless. Right. I'll give you an example. I can remember We always remember our bad beats. And imagine winning an over-under bet by a few games, only to have a game canceled with one or two games to go in the season. But I'm often remembered or reminded of a game way back maybe 10 years ago, UNLV college football game
right.
at home against the University of Wisconsin. And on Monday,
I
the line
came
out.
I was nowhere near Sam Boyd Stadium, by the way.
You were? Okay,
no.
Good. So I don't have to point
me.
The finger
it
at you.
Me.
But the line opened 2.5, Wisconsin. And I hammered it, my buddy and I, we hammered it, and it moved to 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5, 7. 6 days later, 5 days later on Saturday by kickoff, Sam Boyd Stadium, Las Vegas, UNLV opened 2.5. When I bet it, it closed 7. 6 minutes to go in the game. I was so confident, I went to the Pink Lenny Kravitz concert at Mandalay Bay, and my buddy had a sports ticker at that time. This is 10, 12 years ago, and I mean, we're up 28-7 or something, and then he could not get an updated score. And I'm thinking, bad reception? What's going on here? The game was suspended, and then it was called with about 6 minutes to go in the game,
right.
and all bets were refunded. So I won in a landslide, but it was a bad beat because some drunk hick driving down Boulder Highway ran into a utility pole, cut the power, a sold-out crowd, complete darkness, and because the game, for all intent and purpose, had already been decided, and this was not that long after 9/11, they said, okay, we're going to call the game,
right.
which obviously upset me because there's nothing worse than winning a game. It's tough enough to win a game
right.
to win it and then have it called because of something like this. But Nevada gaming law dictates that a game, football game, must go 55 minutes for it to be official. In this example, there were about 6 minutes to go in the game, so it had been played 54 minutes.
Well, you know, I always wondered, I knew that story, but let's say you're involved in a situation where a game has already gone over the total, and you know the over bettors are already winners. Why not pay the total? Now, if the game's under still, I can see where you wouldn't pay them going through. And I can see where the point spread might still be in question one way or the other because strange things happen. But if a total in a football game was 40-40 and it's already at 42 and something happens, it's already over that total. Just like this bet. If the Celtics or the Pacers season win total was already over the total, it's already been decided what the bet was. So why does it matter whether we finished it or not? Because it's not going to change the outcome. The outcome has already been rendered that one side has lost the bet. The other side has won the bet. It can't change. We can't go back and take wins away or take points away. So why not pay the over players?
Now that makes way too much sense.
Okay.
That's why it will never become official. Because their defense will simply be, hey, it's predicated on the game going 55 minutes. They don't
well, that's
want
an arbitrary thing. I mean, okay, in a baseball game, when rain comes in the seventh inning, the game is official after 5.5. Or after five innings, the game is official, 4.5 or 5, depending on who's winning. If I already have the over, if we had a game that's already, the total is at 8, and the game's already at 10, and it's a 7-4 game or 7-3 game in the sixth inning and rain comes and the umpires say game's over, we're not going to resume it, 7-3 goes into the books, then 7-3 goes into the books.
7-3 goes into the books, but again, if you're betting the total, it's a no bet.
Right.
You win the side because it's an official game, but that's why, I mean, I'm always thinking in terms of after I have a game won, I'm always thinking, okay, how can I still lose this game? And I've lost
right.
I've lost because, you know, it's the ninth inning and the game is called. I can remember a baseball game, the Cleveland Indians taking on the Seattle Mariners, and I bet the first 5 innings of a game, and I had bet over 4.5, and it was 7-1. But it was in April, and there was a snowstorm,
right.
and they only had one out to go in the fifth inning. And it was early in Cleveland, and it was no bet because they called the game, and it went in the books as nothing.
Right.
Like it never even took place, and I was one out away. I forget the manager. He's just always would slow the game down. Hargrove, maybe?
Mr. Rain Delay Mike Hargrove.
Exactly right. That was the guy, and I was so, I'm telling you.
The human rain delay.
I mean, I need one out, and he kept going out after every single pitch, and I mean, there's snow flurries and wind. It's like, you know what? This is painful. This is torture. And then they said, okay, everyone off the field, and they waited for like 3 hours. I needed one out. Right. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. Well, my bone of contention, though, is if the game is already over the total, it shouldn't matter where we are in the game. If it's the end of the third quarter in a football game and lightning comes, which has happened, and they suspend a game for lightning, or they end up calling it after three quarters, but it's already over the total for the game, they should pay the over bettors.
See, again, I could not agree more, but that's way too logical. Right. Way too it makes way too much sense. So instead, they just want a black and white. If it doesn't go 5 innings, or if it doesn't go 8.5 innings, or if it doesn't go 55 minutes in a football game, it's just no bet. We don't have to think.
Right.
Now, my question for you is, again, I don't think they should have canceled tonight's Celtic game in lieu of what happened in Boston yesterday. I understand it. I respectfully disagree with the decision. Your thoughts specifically?
Well, I think when you look at the specific game with Indiana and Boston, it's not so much about where the teams are playoff-wise or any of that. I think you have so many resources with your police force, with your, you know, fire, rescue, ambulance. Resources of the city are being diverted into other areas, and maybe you're shorthanded from a resource standpoint in making sure the 20,000 people going into TD Ameritrade Center are being protected properly or adequately enough to make sure that the building's now searched and sniffed and all the things that you have to do now, unfortunately, in today's world, when it comes to protecting. Hey, just do everything you want back there. to make sure that those fans are safe. That's got to be your paramount concern, is making sure the players and the fans are safe. And maybe you're diverting resources now in the investigation and the aftermath of what happened yesterday at the marathon. That's the only thing I could think of.
I would like to remind our listeners and our viewers that we field live chat questions on Vegas Video Network. We also have the studio line open, 702-221-7283. That's 221-7283. This maintenance man in the background is a major distraction here. If he's not banging into the window, he's banging into the walls. He's tapping me on the shoulder. Sit up straight. It's like, hey, I'm in the middle of a show.
Stop
here, man.
Stop slouching. Stop slouching.
Feel like I'm back in high school.
Exactly. Posture. Proper posture. No curvature of the spine for you.
I do want to. We talked a little bit about Steven Jackson, the fact that he, for the San Antonio Spurs, right, who was released, he was cut. This is a player who was a star with San Antonio back in 2003 when the Spurs won the NBA title. We're talking about a guy who went to Charlotte for the Bobcats. He was a star, played good team defense. He's a very tall, athletic guy, proven winner. Went to Golden State and was a star. A year ago, the Spurs picked him up. And I thought, wow, what a great acquisition to make their bench. We're talking about a star starter who improved their bench significantly. But just last week, Popovich, who I love, cut Jackson, not because of his stats, but because two reasons. One, he felt he was adversely affecting the mental attitude of the younger players. And the second reason was Leonard, their star from San Diego State University. He's been having increased minutes, helping his team. But man, oh man, I mean, the players were shocked, upset, not happy with the fact that they cut Steven Jackson. What say you?
Well, if Greg Popovich feels that this guy is more of a detriment than he is an asset, then you make that decision to move forward. There's something to be said for, you know, getting along with people. And if you're not able to do that, and you are somebody who's now a distraction, it's the question is you have to weigh is, are the benefits better than the cons of keeping this person? Is he so good that we can afford to put up with his antics, or is it on the other side where it's just too much of a distraction? As they say, is how much can your stomach lining take of this guy? Now, if he was a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant type performer, LeBron James type performer, you can put up with a whole lot. But if he's somebody who brings you 6 points a game, 16 minutes a game, whatever he was averaging in that time, and he's a pain in the butt, you can find that production with somebody who's easier to get along with.
I have so much respect for Greg Popovich. I've often said that Pop knows best. You don't question someone who's won four NBA titles, even though their last championship came years ago in 2007. But I think also, Brett, this guy is sending a message to his team that, listen, I don't care who you are, what you've done. We might like you personally, but if you're going to cause problems internally, you're gone.
Well, I think it's a great example of, you see, I mean, Latrell Sprewell. You saw the problems that he caused and what happened to him. Eventually, he became a pariah, and nobody wanted him around. He was a very good, productive player. He could score plenty of points, but he was a pain in the butt. And of course, he tried to choke his coach, but that's beside the point. But there's other guys like that. Ron Artest has bounced around. Dennis Rodman bounced around. I'm not saying Steven Jackson's one of those kind of guys, but apparently he's hard to deal with. And at some point, the coach got to say, you know what, Steven, I don't need this anymore. We're getting ready for a playoff run. You're a distraction. We're making a move to get rid of you.
You mentioned Latrell Sprewell, and I have to say it brought back a humorous moment. I mean, we know that he was suspended for choking his coach. I mean,
well, I think
who could get away with that?
Other than 1989, when Seton Hall went to the national championship game, I think everybody who ever played for P.J. Carlesimo wanted to choke him.
Right. I think to a certain degree, a lot of people saw Sprewell as a hero.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people probably wish they could choke their boss. Okay.
Exactly.
He actually did it.
That's true.
But Latrell Sprewell, you know, I'm all for athletes and coaches. Get what you can get when you can get it, but I think they might be guilty of being a little bit out of touch. I'll give you an example. Latrell Sprewell, latter stages of his career playing for the Minnesota T-Wolves, he turned down a 3-year, $14 million contract by saying, I have a family to feed.
Right.
Where is he eating? The airport?
He's
taking his family out to eat at the movie theater? I have a family to feed. I mean, and he never played pro ball again.
Right.
Turned down $14 million.
And that's that disconnect from the average American versus some of these superstar guys that are making a gazillion dollars when you're saying, come on, the average guy is out there schlepping around for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and he does have a family to feed, and his wife's working, and kids he's trying to get through maybe a private school or get through public school and get him into T-ball, get him into other activities. And those families are scraping to get by. And you're talking about somebody with $14 million. Well, it's not our fault. Your $14 million is not enough to feed your family. I think you might be over-leveraged a little bit. With how many cars do you have? How many homes do you have? How many of this do you have? I never feel bad at all when these guys go out and get their gazillion-dollar contracts. Then later on, they're going, I'm filing for bankruptcy. Now, part of it is, and the NBA is maybe a better example than the other sports, is these guys don't have the education that they need to sustain them long-term. They've got a lot of hangers-on. They try to be over-benevolent to everybody in their neighborhood, and they try to do things to people that they haven't had. And so part of it is they try to be very much philanthropic, and they get taken advantage of. They take care of their mom. They take care of their family. Suddenly they take care of way too many friends, and suddenly they're realizing, I'm not putting money away for me and my family later on. And eventually, and unfortunately, an injury happens, or they're not as good as they used to be, or somebody else better takes their spot. Happens in football all the time where somebody gets hurt. And the next thing you know, in football, we know not guaranteed contracts. If you don't get that big signing bonus, you might get cut and not have a job and be out of work for a while. But suddenly you just bought a $1 million house and four or five cars, and you bought your mom a house, and you've been helping friends and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles with money and handouts all the time. Guess what? The money train ends. Now you've got nothing for yourself.
See, I've always said that, and you talked about the average Joe making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and I hear it on the street occasionally. People are upset, annoyed with professional athletes with the kind of money that they're making, but I respectfully see it differently. I say, listen, again, get what you can get when you can get it.
Right.
Who's to say? It's really about not what something costs, it's about what is the return. And the idea is, if a player a la Greinke, as an example, I mean, $147 million contract, but if you take into consideration what the prices are for tickets, and you're talking 50,000 fans in the stadium and 81 home games, who's to say? I mean, everything's
and $20 beers.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, don't ask you how you know.
Well, I know. I have season tickets for the Dodgers. I know. They are expensive.
See, you're talking beer, and I'm upset with the price of hot dogs.
Well, that's right. Well, luckily, you get a Dodger dog, and they're this big.
They are. You know? They are.
Although they're very, very skinny.
I noticed that.
So you got to get a double dog.
I do. Going through. And I will.
I mean, you can go to Dodger Stadium, and you can go get a hamburger, a fries, and a soda from Carl's Jr. inside of Dodger Stadium. It's going to set you back $25.
Right. Yeah. So, again, we're all paying for that big, fat contract per the players. But, again, the first – I'll ask you, when was the first million-dollar-a-year player and what year? Who was the first player and what year?
Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan is correct.
1980, maybe?
Close. 79.
Yeah, okay.
But look at it today, what these athletes are signing. But, again, I think it's fine based on what they bring to the table, based on – I mean, they wouldn't be getting paid that if it wasn't for the TV deals and or the fans paying. I mean, I went to Los Angeles, big on time management, so I knocked out two NBA games, 24-hour window, back in mid-November. The Miami Heat taking on the LA Clippers and the Lakers taking on the San Antonio Spurs, and I sat right behind the Spurs bench, face value – that, which is what I paid, face value of the ticket, $400.
Right.
Now you know
Did
why
they
I go.
You
now
leave
you
the
know.
Building to come back into the building again.
Well, now you know why I go to these games by myself. Two reasons: one, I have no friends, and two, I can't afford it.
Exactly. No, you're right, and it is very expensive. And I love taking my sons to games and baseball games, and I'll whether we talked about games you go see, and I've been to a lot of – I've gone to NCAA tournament games. We've gone to World Series games. We've gone and seen the Cardinals play in various places. I was in the stands in Bank One Ballpark the day Albert Pujols hit his very first major league home run. And I remember saying to my sons back in 2000, that's the first of 500 right there. And the next day, Rick Ankiel beat Randy Johnson. Rick Ankiel, who now plays in the outfield, who couldn't throw a strike later on, going through, and I'll remember that. I was at playoff games with Jose Lima, one for the Dodgers, and the crowd going crazy in those situations. And I've been back in old NFL games watching Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach, then Joe Theismann, and everybody in the NFC East roll into St. Louis and destroy the Big Red, the Big Cardinals, back in the day. And going to games is part of what we do in America. We go to games, but they are pricing out so many people because of I'm not going to blame the players. I agree with you. The players get what they can get. They're not saying, I want $20 million. The owners are saying, I'm going to pay you $20 million. Then the owners might say, I'm going to pay 18 and say, I want 22, and they'll settle on $20 million. So the money is there in that regard. It's being passed on to the fans. The question is, will the fans ever tire of the escalating prices?
I think what we have here, I mean, you talk about they priced out so many people, and I'm telling you, it's crazy. I mean, I've been to 5 Super Bowls, 3 of those 5 years, Don Beebe, a good buddy of mine, hooked me up with, I mean, he had access as a player to the Super Bowl.
From Canelan, Illinois, Don Beebe.
Exactly. Sugar Grove, Illinois, yep. Canelan High School. Yep. He hooked me up with Super Bowl tickets 3 of the 5 times I went to the Super Bowl, but I remember the face value of a ticket back in 92 when the Redskins played in the Minneapolis Metrodome against the Bills. The face value of that ticket was $150. Today, $1,200.
Right.
Over $1,200. And I remember going to the Super Bowl in Miami, Florida, when the Denver Broncos knocked off the Atlanta Falcons, and it was John Elway's last game. And then I flew to Honolulu, Hawaii for the Pro Bowl, Oahu, and I sat at the 50-yard line. That game sells out every year, but I came across the ticket recently, $40, 50-yard line for the Pro Bowl. And what would that ticket be today? Maybe $10? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You might be in the stands by yourself.
Maybe that was a poor example. But ticket prices are off the hook, crazy insane. It's like, really, we're in a recession?
Well, I mean, look at last week, the Masters. Badges for single-day tickets to the Masters, which are kind of like Lambeau Field. If you get a badge, you're in a lottery, you can keep your badge forever, but it doesn't get passed down by generation. And then people sell their badge. They're selling them for $5,000 for a round at the Masters, for a week at the Masters. Then these people are renting their homes, saying, well, hotel rooms, you can't get a hotel room. I'll tell you what, I'll move out of my house for a week. You pay me $5,000-$6,000, you can have my house for the week. That happens all the time. So there's people are willing to do that stuff. And people are buying it. But until the market dries up, I guess we'll have to wait and see when that happens.
You're listening to and watching The Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide, locally, Las Vegas, KSHP AM 1400 Radio. My name is Scott Pritchard, founder of PritchardsPicks.com. I'm joined by Brett Grant, sports enthusiast, all-around good guy, sports better, and the GM here at KSHP. We're going to keep it moving with something we like to call Spin to Win. We know as successful sports bettors, the key to being successful is to think with your head, never think with your heart. Emotions, check those at the door when it comes to professional sports betting. I've had issues in the past. Emotions cloud judgment. Well, that's great when it comes to poker or sports betting. In relationships, not so much. All right, we have a game, baseball game, the Texas Rangers on the road taking on the Chicago Cubs. The side, Rangers are favored by, I believe it's a quarter, minus 25 cents. The Cubs are plus 115. I'm going to spin to win. I'm forced to make an argument for one team or the other. Brett automatically has to make an argument for the other team because, again, the key to being successful in sports betting, be objective, be unbiased, check your emotions at the door, and you should be able to make an argument for either team. Here we go. Spin to win. Okay, let's see who
you,
I have.
Thank goodness you get the Cubs.
Wow. Better me than you, right?
Exactly.
Well, the Cubs plus 115, there might be some value here. I didn't say there is, but there might be because how many times have you heard me say that underdogs are oftentimes undervalued when it comes to betting baseball? Whether it, I mean, football, basketball, underdogs are undervalued. I take the points. Baseball, long-term, okay, this is a one-game situation. It's a three-hour contract. But long-term, if you're taking pluses, okay, and you're scalping and grinding and finding the biggest, baddest number. Like, for instance, the Cubs are plus 115. Before I would bet this game, I would look to steal a plus 19, a plus 20, a plus 21. Before I came to the studio today, I mean, it was basically minus a quarter, plus 15 cents everywhere. So, again, the Cubs, as bad as they are at home. Let's take a look at this pitching matchup with the Cubs taking on the Texas Rangers. And I'm looking here. Well, I have the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
I don't even – they're so bad, I don't even see them on my sheet.
Travis Wood, I think, is going for the Cubs against Derek Holland today.
Okay. All right. Well, I like the Cubs plus 15 cents. What say you?
That's very compelling. I like the Rangers. You know, the interesting thing about this game is it's the first trip for the Rangers to Wrigley Field since 2002. The great thing about the baseball season this year, and I'm really looking forward to this, is the fact that we will have interleague baseball every day of the season. And we're not seeing just the National League Central playing the American League Central like it's been every year. We're seeing, here comes the Texas Rangers, an American League West team coming in. Thing about the Cubs, the Rangers with Derek Holland, he's in 15 innings so far this year. He's one loss. His ERA is 2.4. His whip is 1. He's been a little bit of a hard luck pitcher. He lost 2-0 to Tampa and beat the Angels with no decision 3-2. The Rangers won the game, but he went 8 innings in his first start. He went 7 innings in his second start. He's pitching very well. He's given up just 5 hits in the first start, 6 hits in the second start. He's not walking people, doing a very good job in his outings. And the thing with the Cubs is the back end of their bullpen is so horrible. Even if the Cubs do have a lead, the fact is, the other guys get 9 at bats no matter what, right? So you got to like the Rangers offensively to be able to score, especially if they're able to get to that bullpen, because the Cubs bullpen might be the worst in baseball.
That's a very good point. That's why if you're going to play the Cubs plus the 15 cents, you might consider playing the first 5 innings simply because they are at home. It presents some value. It's an interleague game. So the Texas Rangers, as good as they are, I mean, last year, as an example, they would score more than one run more at home, something like 5.3 runs, but on the road only 4.2. So they're on the road here, and as good as they are, now their pitcher Holland is forced to bat. So the Cubs at home, National League game, National League rules, plus 15 cents. I would agree with that assessment as opposed to playing them for the entire 9 games. If you're going to play the Cubs play the plus 15 cents for the first 5 innings.
Good idea.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back on The Odds Couple. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera, broadcast-quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
On the world famous Vegas Video Network, my name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always by Brett Grant and Anthony Padilla on every Friday for the Odds Couple.
Hi, Anthony. Oh, he's not here.
We have we have the studio lines open. We like to field questions at 702-221-7283. That's 702-221-7283. If you have a question about sports, namely sports betting, even better. Check us out live chat, Vegas Video Network. We would love for you to continue to be a part of the show by reaching out to us. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to have your voice on our show. You can do that by going to Vegas Video Network. On the right-hand side, a red bar. Click there, middle of the page, green bar, start recording. I already mentioned that we do have live chat questions through Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide with this show Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Las Vegas time. If you do miss us live, no worries. Reach out to us on YouTube, iTunes, Vegas Video Network, and Roku. Are you kidding me?
I'm ready for Are You Kidding Me today. Yovani Gallardo, the pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, arrested yesterday for a DUI. Nearly three times the legal limit, which is .08. He was .22. So having many a beer. Now, maybe he got drunk because he saw his pitching stats with a 6.61 ERA and 0-1 record and a whip of nearly 2 going through. But he is the number one starter for the Milwaukee Brewers. You got to think, I don't know what his salary is off the top of my head, but Yovani probably makes several million dollars, maybe as many as $10 to $15 million. But yet athlete after athlete after athlete decides to get behind the wheel of the car and drive themselves home. The interesting thing about this story is the fact that Gallardo wasn't speeding. He wasn't driving 100 miles an hour down the highway. He was on the highway, but he was going 40 miles an hour. So he knew he was drunk. He goes, I better slow down so I don't get pulled over. He was going 40 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. And I do not mean to make fun of people drinking and driving. But what pisses me off about this is the fact that you guys make so much money and you still get behind the wheel of the car. Hire a driver. It's $50. Let somebody drive you home. Don't be that guy that causes or ruins the life of somebody else because you're going to be such a stud and drive yourself home. Go drink all you want. You've got the money. Pay for a driver. And let's get home safely. And see, make sure I do too.
Yeah, I get that.
So
okay.
Are you kidding me?
We know that numbers show, statistics show, 32,000 people in that ballpark will die on the road. I mean, it's down considerably. Years ago, I remember reading it was 48,000 to 50,000 people will die on the road. So it's dangerous out there. It's even more dangerous, obviously, if someone's drinking and driving. But to me, it's illogical. Why, again, multi-million dollar athlete, forget the cab, forget the limo, hire a driver.
Right.
Again, it's so obvious, but I get it because, I mean, and these athletes are still going to continue to drink, and they're still going to continue to drive. I know this because I know that a double cheeseburger at Burger King is bad for my health. I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. Are we going now?
We should. I'm getting hungry now that I mention it.
I haven't had lunch yet.
All right. Well, I thank you for sharing your thoughts. Are you kidding me? This baseball player with the big fat ERA drowning his sorrows and then getting behind the wheel of a car. And again, it was not like he was at .9. He was at
.22.
almost three times. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about Kobe Bryant and his injury. Achilles injury. I mean, this guy's going to be out 6 to 9 months. A lot of people talking about this injury is Mike D'Antoni's fault because he's been abusing Kobe Bryant based on so many minutes. In fact, last week we were talking about, wow, Kobe Bryant, 23 points, fourth quarter against New Orleans, and then he came back the next night, played all 48 minutes, scored 47 points, 18 of 18 from the free throw line. Well, all good things come to an end. This guy has a tremendous work ethic, and the fact that he snapped his Achilles tendon, serious, serious injury, painful injury. Again, people are looking to blame Mike D'Antoni, the coach, for abusing him with the minutes. Other people have said that it's wear and tear and it's time. I'm not buying it, okay? Are you kidding me? An Achilles tendon is a very sensitive issue. It's something that can happen. It's just bad luck. You could step off the sidewalk the wrong way and snap your Achilles tendon. I don't think there's anyone to blame here. Are you kidding me?
I agree with you. I think if there is anybody to blame, you blame the player himself, because there's no way Kobe was coming out of those games. Kobe knew he had to play that many minutes for his team to win those very important games to make the playoffs. And being as competitive as he is, it is a bad break. And I don't think you can ever foresee or foreshadow somebody being injured and say, oh, if I only knew. Well, hindsight's 20/20. If Kobe played 48 minutes the next night, and the next night, and the next night, and nothing ever happened to him, do we say anything about this? We say, wow, what a gamer Kobe Bryant was. He was a warrior. He went out and played 48 minutes, four nights in a row, and got us to the playoffs. All hail Kobe. Well, he got hurt, and he was not going to come out of that game anyway. He had opportunities to come out of the game and wasn't coming out. In fact, he told D'Antoni, I'm not coming out. He said it before, I'm playing all 48 minutes tonight, coach. Don't even think about it. So how do you blame the coach?
How tough is Kobe Bryant? We're talking about, I've seen professional athletes who have severed their Achilles tendon, and they're taken off the court in a wheelchair. It's tremendous. I mean, friends of mine have had it happen. Thank goodness it's never happened to me, but I know it's very, very painful. This guy, in pain, shot not one but two free throws before finally coming out of the game. But his work ethic, only to be outdone by how tough-minded and how tough he is in general.
No question about it. And you look at – but he's also the face of the franchise. It's not like you're taking, you know, Jody Meeks and saying, we're taking you off the floor. You're trying to take the face of the franchise, who's obviously had a very tough season this year. The Lakers have been a soap opera all year long. And Kobe's finally, they finally get to, you know, there's that old saying, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Just hope it's not an oncoming train. Right?
Right.
And the Lakers have had that kind of season this year. They don't know what that light is at the end of the tunnel. Well, for Kobe, it was an oncoming train.
Well, we're talking about Kobe Bryant, talking about his injury and the fact that people are looking to blame the coach, blame Kobe himself for, again, extended minutes. But bottom line is, it happens. It's bad luck. I feel for the guy because in terms of work ethic, I mean, this guy is so hungry to get back into the playoffs for a shot at the championship. How frustrating is this for him to put your heart and soul into something and to be that close to solidifying the number 8 seed in the Western Conference, all for naught?
Well, I don't think they were going to win the championship anyway. So I think anybody with a reasonable mind looking at this is saying the Lakers' odds of winning a championship, what they were at the beginning of the year, which was, would the Lakers go off at odds-wise to win the NBA championship this
year? Well, they were one of the top 3-4 right. favorites, for sure.
So had you not bet them and you bet them now, you probably get about 80-1 now,
right? Right. Versus, and I wouldn't bet it.
Right. Versus 3-1 or 4-1 back sure. before the season started.
Right.
It's been a rough year, so nobody was thinking this team was going to win the NBA title this year. Making the playoffs is one thing. Winning a championship, it wasn't on the agenda for the Lakers this year.
I would agree. But let's talk about, you know, we're talking about Kobe Bryant. We're talking about the Lakers. Well, they look good, knocking off the San Antonio Spurs the other night as a 3.5-point favorite. And they have one game left. If they win at home against the very good Houston Rockets team, they're in. Or if the Utah Jazz lose one more game, they're in. How do you see it playing out?
Well, the Rockets lost yesterday in Phoenix, so back-to-back nights, and you're saying, okay, well, the Rockets, not a game they should have won probably in Phoenix last night. It was an important game for the Rockets because now they are the 7 seed in this spot. And I don't know how the tiebreaker works out, but if the Lakers beat them tonight, the Lakers and the Rockets would have the same record. And I don't know if the Lakers, do they move up? Or are they already automatically solidified as the number 8 seed? Or can they slide up to become the 7 seed by beating the Rockets? I'm not sure where the tiebreaker is in that regard. But, you know, the shuffling going around. The Spurs, we talked about maybe manipulating the system a little bit to losing yesterday in Golden State that allows the Warriors to move up to the 6th spot, brings the Rockets down to the 7th spot, and of course the travel distance between San Antonio and Houston is this far.
Right.
The travel distance between San Antonio and going to Golden State is this far.
Right.
And I'm an old team, so I think they were probably not giving their full effort last night, and with Golden State winning and Houston losing. But now suddenly, and I don't know what the tiebreaker is. I can't imagine the Lakers and Rockets have played a lot of games this year. They typically play 3, right? This
right.
must be the rubber match of a series, I guess, to decide who wins that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big, big game, last game of the season, the Houston Rockets taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. We know that the Utah Jazz own the tiebreaker against the Lakers, but that's if they end up tied. Right now, the Lakers have the inside track for the 8th seed, an outside shot at the number 7 seed. Let's talk about the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, Greg Popovich last night, the coach for the Spurs, he rested. Well, Boris Diaw, we know, is out 3 to 4 weeks. We know that Manu Ginobili, he may play. I doubt it, sooner than later. And then Tony Parker, I mean, we're talking Tim Duncan, we're talking Leonard. All these guys did not play. Popovich, in his defense, says, listen, this isn't anything new. I've been doing this for 17 years. I don't play my guys, or when I do, it's limited, based on back-to-backs. He's implying, in fact, he actually said his starters will play the last game of the year. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Well, he might play at 5 minutes.
Right, exactly.
Depends on the game.
Limited,
I told
exactly.
You they're playing. But it was, well, yesterday, nobody played yesterday. The Knicks set everybody. The Heat set everybody. The Spurs set everybody. So if David Stern, I don't know if they all called David Stern and say, hey, I'm sitting my team, don't fine us. But they all kind of pulled what the NFL did back in week 16 and 17 when Peyton Manning's team's undefeated. They go, we don't care about undefeated. We're sitting our starters. Well, these teams that have solidified their playoff spots are sitting their starters.
And I agree with that assessment because, again, if you bust tail the entire season, you solidify a number 1, 2, 3 seed, or you're locked in a specific seed for the upcoming playoffs, I mean, it's really not about the regular season. It's about the postseason. It's still a grind. You play 82 regular season games, and then you play 2 months of intense knockdown, drag-out playoffs at the highest level. So, I mean, it takes its toll. So
you play about one game every 3 or 4 days, though, in the playoffs, the way they stretch that schedule out quite a bit. But you're right. I have no problem with that. I agree with you. Now, you look at the funny thing was the Heat last night sat everybody, and yet they still won the game, right? They win by a point against Cleveland, and they played literally no Kobe, no Bosh, no Wade, nobody last night.
Right. Well, actually, I think the Heat, they've improved. I mean, this team, unlike Oklahoma City, okay, these two teams made the NBA Finals a year ago, and I think this Oklahoma City team, as good as they are, they're not as good as they were last year. I mean, they had James Harden last year. And the Miami Heat, as good as they were last year winning the NBA championship, they're better because they're deeper. I mean, they picked up Ray Allen. They picked up Rashard Lewis. Chalmers is doing a good job knocking down the three ball. I love Battier's defense, and he's a good three-point shooter. So this team, the big three, they are gelling better today than ever before. I mean, obviously, you can't get any value betting the Heat to win the NBA title, but that I'd be hard-pressed to think anyone could beat them 4 times in a 7-game series.
The funny thing was, last night, they win their game 96-95 in Cleveland. Of course, in Cleveland, LeBron James didn't play. Chris Bosh, Mario Chalmers, Dwayne Wade. So those four guys didn't play. Clearly, they're 4 best players, right? They had 6 other guys last night that scored in double figures. You had Rashard Lewis with 19, Joel Anthony, former Rebel, 11, Norris Cole, 16, Mike Miller, 11, Ray Allen, 11, James Jones, 14. And then they had the Birdman. They had 7 last night as well, and so did Juwan Howard. So everybody that played for him last night pretty much was very all contributed very well. Juwan Howard's got to be, what, 106, 107 years old, still hanging around in the NBA?
Think about that. Okay, that's
the Juwan, 1992, 93. Right. It's 20 years ago, the Fab Five.
The Fab Five, think about the players that were the Fab Five.
Yeah.
Juwan Howard, Chris Webber, Name the other one or two.
Well, Ray King, Ray Jackson, and what's his name? The lefty who we see all the time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think too.
You're killing me.
Well, here's what you have. I mean,
Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose.
There's the five.
There was a documentary on
Nobody
the Fab
remembers
five.
Ray King or Ray Jackson.
Right, right.
Typically. But I did.
Juwan Howard.
Great.
They did a documentary years ago, and the leader of the Fab Five, Jalen Rose. Yeah. The guy that we could not remember.
Right.
Well, that's how good of a leader.
Yeah.
But he was the leader. Now, the most gifted, the most talented of the Fab Five, there's a great life lesson here. That's why I'm sharing it.
Go ahead.
Chris Webber had the most talent.
Right.
Jalen Rose was the leader. And who was the hardest worker? Hands down, the hardest worker was not blessed with the most talent.
Juwan Howard.
Chris Webber has been out of the league forever.
Right.
What about Jalen Rose? He's been out of the league forever. Juwan Howard keeps on keeping on. Work ethic alone. Yes, of course he has talent, but he could not compare to the other two guys we just mentioned.
He was a great high school player, though. I mean, I was in Chicago in that era and back in Illinois covering high school basketball in that era, and Juwan Howard from Chicago was an awesome high school basketball player and a terrific player. Yeah, he was the guy that got dirty. And not did he play dirty. He would get the rebounds. He would get the offensive rebounds. He would be the guy that took on the big guy on the other side and shut him down, played hard-nosed defense, and went through it. And he was very humble, where Jalen Rose, not humble.
Right.
Chris Webber, not humble. You know, King and Jackson were the support players going through. But Juwan Howard he's very much like a Tim Duncan from the standpoint of he just kept his mouth shut, did his job, and led by example.
It's such a great story because, again, he did not match up with the stars of Jalen Rose and Chris Webber. But just based on work ethic alone, he just keeps plodding along at the highest level. He's been in the league forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great lesson there. Hard work beats talent, you might say.
Yeah,
especially if talent doesn't want to work.
That's for sure.
All right. This is the part of the show where Brett and I put money into your pocket as together we put you on the right side.
We're doing the finger pointing. I have to go first again?
Yes, you're up.
All right. I'm going to try and forget about what I did yesterday. My pick did not win yesterday. Yours did. Congratulations to you.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Who won me? There you go. Oh, boy. Can we get a doctor here to visit the Bell? I'm not feeling well. I'm going to go with a baseball game in Milwaukee today at Miller Park between the San Francisco Giants and the Milwaukee Brewers. There's a total in this game at 8.5, and I like this game over the total. Even though the Giants have and Barry Zito has been absolutely terrific to start the season. In fact, the Giants have won 16 straight starts with Barry Zito. I like the Giants a little bit as well. Plus, you're getting a little bit of a plus money in this particular spot. But Barry Zito at Miller Park, 0-4 in his career with an ERA of 7.67. So he's been terrific in his last couple starts. Willie Peralta on the other side, 0-1 with a 4.5 ERA for the Brewers. I look for a lot of offense in this game today. Zito will get hit in Miller Park. The bad part about it, Aramis Ramirez is on the disabled list, the hard-hitting third base for the Brewers, but I look for the Brewers to bounce back, score some runs on Barry Zito. I think the Giants have no problem scoring runs as well. I like over the 8.5 tonight.
Before we get to my right side, I would like to recap what took place yesterday. If you tuned in, KSHP AM 1400 radio, or watched the show live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network, my play yesterday over in the Dodger game as they took on the Padres. The total for the game was 7. I like the over. It fell 6-3. Easy winner. It fell 9. So that was fun. Let's try and do it again. I'm looking at a game between the Mets. They're on the road taking on the Rockies of Colorado, and we know Colorado lends itself to over. It's a hitter friendly park. We have a couple of lefties going at it. Laffy against Francis. Now, both it's early, but both ERAs well over 5 between these two guys. And the concerning part is the whip factor, over 2 for Laffy. Francis hovering around 2 at 1.96. I'm telling you this because everything I've said so far would lend itself to I must like the over. No, I do not. Because you can put a number on anything, and I based on the ERAs, which I think are a bit inflated, based on the whip factor, walks, hits per innings pitch, I think it's a bit overhyped. It's a bit overinflated because it's early in the season. So I'm going to buck the trend. I'm going under 10.5. 10.5, too many runs for this game. I understand why it's so high, but I'm a value guy. The value for me, under the 10.5 in the Mets-Rockies game.
All right. Well, hopefully it won't snow. They were snowed out yesterday in Colorado.
Well, I want to, you know, we're both baseball fanatics. I can't wait to see the movie 42.
Yeah.
You saw it without telling me too much. How was it?
It was fantastic. A terrific performance by Harrison Ford, who plays Branch Rickey, the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers. He's terrific in the movie, and it wouldn't shock me to see him nominated for an Academy Award. He was absolutely terrific in it. It's a great history lesson for baseball fans who didn't get a chance perhaps to see Jackie Robinson play or don't know enough about the story going through. A lot of people think of, when I say Jackie Robinson, I'll ask you, what position did he play? And most people will say, well, he was a second baseman. Well, his first year in the Brooklyn Dodgers, he wasn't a second baseman. And the story revolves around him making the team at a different position. And if you go through and do your research, you'll find out about it. It's a really interesting story, the things that he had to go through, the trials and tribulations, of course, we all know about, being the first black player to make it into baseball. And then, of course, the next year joined by Roy Campanella and others going into and breaking the color barrier. But just, it really does give a very good depiction about how money is green. It doesn't matter what color you are. And there's a couple of underlying storylines about where money is as important as color in a couple of spots in the movie. It was very well done. I really liked it. And for my sons, for them who are 15 years old, a chance to learn more about the great game of baseball was really nice.
I can't wait to see the movie. I guess my question for you is, I mean, obviously baseball enthusiasts would love the movie, but does it have something for everyone? Meaning, did you take your wife and your kids? Is it a good family movie
as
well?
It is, because there's the story of Jackie's wife. And then they go through them getting married. They go through the birth of Jackie Jr., who a lot of people might not know, had substance abuse issues in his life, died in a car accident before his father passed away. They don't go into Jackie's illness or anything else. It really surrounds, the entire movie honestly surrounds that first season in the major leagues and doesn't really go beyond his first year with the Brooklyn Dodgers. It goes up to leading up to what he had to go through to get to the Dodgers, and then that first year as a rookie with the Dodgers, and that's where the movie ends.
My daughter is 10 years old. Am I okay to take her? Is
Absolutely.
It rated R, PG-13?
No, it's other than the N-word being shouted out quite a bit, that's about the most egregious thing in the movie.
Okay. Well, yeah. Great. I can't wait to see it. I encourage you to see it as well. 42, the movie is out at theaters. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined by Brett Grant, the general manager here at KSHP AM 1400 Radio. We're here Monday through Friday, okay? Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Las Vegas time. We're live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network and KSHP AM 1400 Radio. For Brett Grant, sports enthusiast, all-around good guy, my name is Scott Pritchard. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. Tune in.